Yo, what is up, chumps? Welcome back to the Fantasy Chumps podcast. After a awesome week three of football, wow, there was a ton of points. Just so many. It was great. Joining me is the blondies again. John just loves vacation. Nate, how are you doing, and how was your trip out of town, since I know your schedule way too much?
Layton is very tapped into my personal life. I don't even have to tell him what I'm doing for him to know where I am and what I'm doing. Little scary, but it was good. I had a good weekend. Went and visited my girlfriend up in Omaha. But funny story about my girlfriend. We're in a fantasy football league with my family, and she absolutely pumped me this week. She beat me by like 50 points. And so this is like her second season playing fantasy, I believe. She likes it. Yeah. Like, she knows her team. She like knows what teams all of her players play for. So like, I'm totally impressed. I helped her send her first trade ever last week. It got declined, but it was a good fair trade for both sides. That's all I could say. Yep. So she's doing good though. But yeah, I'm not helping her anymore. It's over. It's game on. So watch out. But
you said
honestly,
there was money on this league though, right?
It's a pretty small pot, I think. I don't remember what it is, if anything, but she honestly did a really good job drafting. I kind of coached her. Okay. Yeah, she did. I coached her through like a couple waiver ads and whatnot, but she's done well. And I'm a little frustrated by it, but that is okay. Otherwise, it was a good fantasy week. I am still getting destroyed in all of my dynasty leagues. So I think it's tank season right now. Tank for Caleb. Oh,
in our Marvin. Dynasty league too?
All of them. All six or seven that I'm in. Getting destroyed. I've won one dynasty matchup over the last 2 weeks. So it's been a little rough out there, but honestly, in the middle of a season, redraft is what typically has my focus. There's a lot more, you know, weekly moves you got to make. And I'm just competing for the championship that season. So dynasty is always a long game, but it was fun. Picked up another win in our league of record. Got some help from the other guy who started Brandon Ayuk. Thank you, Ethan. Shout out. You're the homie. But yeah, it was good. Layton, how are you doing though? After week three,
I'm doing great. Okay, I have to go back and touch on this. Okay, the only reason I know your schedule so well is just on the weekends when you don't text back. If it's like Friday, anytime in the afternoon, like after lunch, to Sunday when the Chiefs are playing, if you've only responded once or so in like any of the group texts or just individually, I know you're hanging out with Eva in some former fashion. So that's why I always just throw it out there. And then when you're like, I actually told Omaha this week, right after I texted tell Eva hi, I was dying. But back to football.
I hate how predictable my behavior is. I'm gonna have to throw you a curveball sometimes.
Well, you won't, because you won't text back. That's okay. But anyway, my week three was great. Nate, I don't want to get ahead of myself. My team is so good.
It's pretty good.
In our league of record, oh my Lord, I dropped 195 points this past week. And I didn't have Raheem Mostert or David Akane. He says it's not A-chain, it's A-chan.
Yeah, Devin Achan or Achan. Okay. I can't remember. That's fake though. He's lying.
Basically, he is. But yeah, I put up 194 points. Keenan Allen, steal the draft so far. His value only got better, which we'll talk about later. But we even had one of our league mates, shout out Jake, he texted me, said, "All right, I'm sorry. I was wrong, and I said it was a bad pick, so I apologize." So I thought that was very brave of him. But
there's really no better feeling than that, than getting that nod from your colleagues and fellow competitors.
I know, especially like it was totally unprompted, out of the blue, and that it felt good. And so I'm 3-0 heading into week 4, and you know, I'm feeling pretty good. Okay, I'm just going to take another victory lap. I think I've outscored everybody by like 80 points in our league.
You've outscored me by 140 or something. 3 weeks.
Let me see. So, yeah, points for, I have scored 470 points. Nate, you have scored 344. The next closest is 388 to 470, which is Scott, who I just played. So, I know it's way too early in the season to get excited, but I'm feeling pretty good about my chances this year, Nate.
Yeah, I think you should. You have very good team, a lot of depth. I think you made a couple, one in particular, a really sweet waiver ad with Sam Laporta. Could end up being the like league winning move. I don't think he's going to have – like, I don't expect that weekly, what he did last week, where he had like a 45-yard touchdown pass. But, I mean, I think he's a really good player, pretty dynamic, and definitely like a pass-catching tight end, which are hard to come by, honestly. And Jared Goff seems to really like him. So, yeah, your team is looking good. Very happy for you. Honestly, I have to kind of piggyback you on the victory lap for Keenan. I grabbed him in a couple leagues. I was definitely a doubter when you made that pick, but you kind of sold me on your reasoning why. I hope everybody that was listening to last week's podcast took our advice and stuck with the Los Angeles Chargers wide receiving core last week. Hopefully you plugged a couple of those guys in. Obviously Keenan was a lock, but we kind of shot our shot thinking that, you know, it wasn't going to be a very run heavy scheme for the Chargers last week. And that proved to be true. The receivers thrived last week. I mean, across the board, Josh Palmer caught a touchdown, I'm pretty sure. Williams, Keenan Allen threw a touchdown. Also the best quarterback on his team, apparently. But
well, his quarterback is quarterback one in fantasy too, so.
Did he get that after this week?
He's quarterback one in 4 touchdown leagues. If you have a 6 touchdown league, it's Kirk Cousins. But in 4 touchdown, it's Justin Herbert.
Yeah, he had a phenomenal game.
I also just looked at this because I like to every week. Ben also tried to claim Sam Laporta. He put in an offer of 18. I put in 25 fab. So I was
okay.
I was just kind of curious to see how it went, but
interesting.
Good. Yeah. Anyway, moving on, let's get into – we'll stop taking our victory laps. Let's get on to the injury report. This one's a little bit briefer, which is great. So we're going to start with quarterbacks. Derek Carr, shoulder injury, AC joint, likely out this upcoming Sunday. So we'll see famous Jameis Winston, which as a Chris Olave – having Chris Olave on my team, I'm honestly hyped for that. I hope we get vintage Jameis, throws for 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. It's just going to be swinging all over the field, but probably not. Gus Edwards got a concussion, might be out this upcoming weekend. Just stay tuned for that. Justice Hill was also hurt. He didn't play this past weekend. And if you're really dying at running back, you could pick up Melvin Gordon or Kenyon Drake if Gus Edwards can't go. Yikes. Austin Eckler, Nate, I kind of want to touch on this with you. Ankle injury. I read a report before we started that he's unlikely to play Sunday because they have a bye week after. So they're thinking they're going to give him like the extra kind of week off to fully recover for the, I guess, push after the bye week.
That's interesting. I think the Chargers are in a tough spot right now because they are 1-2. I mean, that was a huge win for them last week, but just because, I mean, I forget what the statistic is for teams that start 0-3, but their chances of making the playoffs are like sub 5% or something.
It's really
so
low.
Getting to 1-2 definitely keeps them in the hunt. But still being 1-2 in a game behind or two games behind the first place team in your division, I feel like you're still pressing. So I wouldn't be shocked, just because wins are so important right now, if they tried to bring Eckler out. Like, I definitely understand that reasoning, because if you give him 2 weeks, let him fully heal that ankle, like, he should be 100% for what you think the rest of the season is. But
you'd hope so.
You would hope so. I mean, but that it's – we've seen it is such a drop-off from Austin Eckler to Joshua Kelly in production. So I'm going to say it's like 80% he sits, but like maybe 20% they try and bring him out. Chargers are playing Raiders. It's a home divisional matchup. But, you know, on the other hand, they've shown that they can get it done just throwing the ball 50 times. So, which that might be the scheme again against the Raiders. So, yeah, will be something we'll have to watch throughout the week.
Definitely. I'm very curious to see what happens, but we will keep an eye on it. And, yeah, I would just have a – you already have a plan in place. Just play. We'll go with that. Aaron Jones plays this Thursday, which should be a good game, actually. I think he'll play. He almost played this past week. I think they're kind of just saving him for the divisional matchup, if I'm being honest. Not that they weren't taking the other game lightly, but you know what I mean. Rashad Bateman, hamstring injury. Apparently, it's nothing serious. I would still be cautious when regarding him. And then last, but certainly not least, Mike Williams tore his ACL. He's out for the year. I feel bad because he honestly had a really good start to the season. And some even more Keenan Allen time, I guess.
But that's a pretty good segue into our next segment, though.
Yeah, that is a good point. I forgot to add this guy to that. But, it's a good segue because we're going to talk about – Nate, why don't you intro it?
Okay. We're just going to go through some week 4 waiver additions that you would probably want to keep in mind. We kind of think these guys could be primed for a breakout, not necessarily like your safest options. I don't think, I mean, there's a lot of leagues you're going to have like your Robert Woods available, but who's definitely a safe option, but we're not endorsing that ad necessarily, but some of these guys could see an uptick in production going forward. But the first one plays right into the Los Angeles Chargers talk. Joshua Palmer is available in quite a few leagues. In pretty much every redraft that I'm in, he is available. So I think he could be a very good addition. He had a solid week last week, 13.6 fantasy points. On Sleeper right now, he's currently rostered in 9% of leagues. So I think he's going to be available for just about everybody. If the
How much
Chargers,
fab would you spend?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was just going to get to and ask you that. I mean, Mike Williams is out for the season. So Joshua Palmer, I think until Quentin Johnston actually claims that next wide receiver spot behind Keenan, I think it's Josh Palmer's to kind of lose right now. I think he's played with Justin Herbert for a couple years, has kind of got that chemistry, at least, you know, Justin Herbert's comfortable with him. So I think he'll be kind of a safety outlet. Could see him getting quite a few targets going forward and for the rest of the season, honestly. So I think I would be willing to spend, what do you think? Maybe, because I think you're looking at Joshua Palmer as a suitable wide receiver 3 option right now. I would probably say I'm willing to spend like 15 to 25% maybe of the fab I have remaining on Josh Palmer.
Let me update mine real quick. No, I'm just joking. I would it kind of depends on your wide receiver situation, right? If you really need a wide receiver, I would kind of be in line maybe like 15-20%. But if you're just looking for a depth piece, maybe like 5 to 10. I wouldn't spend a whole lot on it, but
yeah.
What do you think about Quentin Johnston? Because obviously we both loved him coming into the draft. He just hasn't played a lot. And do you think he picks up the Mike Williams role, or do you think it's going to be Keenan and Joshua Palmer and then like Quentin Johnston? Like, because I think personally for like the longer season play, I could see him eventually like being the wide receiver two, like week 9 or something.
Yeah. Well, he's a total player comp, I think, to Mike Williams, which is hilarious because they're on the same team. Both, like, big, you know, power forward almost type players that can get the deep ball. I think Quentin Johnston's a little more versatile, at least, yeah, like, quicker. From what we thought of him in college, at least, was that you could get the ball in his hand. He's going to make a play pretty good in yards after catch. But, yeah, we haven't really seen much out of him. I mean, he's – I don't think he's broken 30% snap share yet.
He's not.
But I think he's definitely a long-term play. For this upcoming week specifically, I would not spend any fab on him, I don't think. And I probably wouldn't use my waiver priority to claim him either.
Yeah.
Because I think he's going to pass through the first cycle of waivers this week. And he'll be available. So if you've got a spot on your bench or are willing to kind of cut some dead weight and pick up Quentin Johnston, maybe like Thursday, I would say you could do it. I think it's a pretty decent matchup for him coming up next week against Las Vegas. We saw Vegas give up some big plays to the Steelers wide receivers last week, who have not been that dynamic so far. So I think he could have kind of a breakout game, and once he gets one of those under his belt, I think his value goes up tremendously. So it's kind of one of those things, you got to roll the dice, either grab him now or, you know, be willing to spend additional fab or have to trade for him next week.
I agree with what you said, like honestly 100%. I was trying to look at some of the numbers, and it's just hard because the Chargers do play in a lot of 3-wide receiver sets, but he wasn't even getting in on those. Like, it was Josh Palmer, but now he will be getting in. And I was also looking at the schedule. So, like you said, they play the Raiders, and they have a bye week. Then they play the Cowboys and then the Chiefs for the first time. Then they get Chicago, and then they get New York. So not like the most healthy group of games for somebody that's not the wide receiver one on your team. So that's my only hesitation to Palmer and Johnston too. So that's kind of where I'm at with both of those players, I think.
Going on to the next guy, this is probably the name that everybody's heard so far coming off the just gargantuan week in Miami where they put up 70 points. It is Devon Achan.
It's Devon Achan.
Achan. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that guy. He's probably somebody that you should look at getting.
You think?
I'm having a very hard time value on him right now because he's not running back one, I don't think. Raheem Mostert has had such an unbelievable start to the season where he's going to be splitting time with Raheem. I think Achan was unbelievably productive for the 40% snap share that he saw last week against kind of a demoralized Denver defense. He had 4 touchdowns, looked really good in the receiving game, looked really good on the ground with 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. I don't know.
It is Achan.
Okay. I'm having a very hard time with him just because it's going to take a few different things to get him to wide or running back one production and volume. It's going to take him continuing to, you know, blow up in the opportunities that he has and take the job away from Raheem Mostert, or which honestly might be the more likely option, is Raheem Mostert gets hurt where he becomes the number one guy, the bell cow. I'm for those, if those are the two paths that I need to have happen for Achan to step into the running back one position, I'm not really willing to spend a whole lot of fab on him, I don't think. If it's a
Like, how
waiver
much would you?
priority, how much would I?
Is
Honestly,
it
probably 15 to 20% again.
like if you really need another running back, let's say
Yeah,
you had Nick Chubb and whoever else, right? He got hurt. You didn't get Jerome Ford. It's
totally. Yeah, situationally dependent. If you're in need of a running back, I think you would have to do probably 40% to get it done in terms of fab. And it's probably a risk worth taking, honestly. If you're like totally hurting for a guy, I think you kind of just roll the dice there because you're not really going to get it done with what you have if you've suffered some injuries from running backs. For me personally, though, I would rather save fab on a guy who is getting elevated into a running back one position from somebody above him who got injured and they've got no other options to turn to. I mean, it's only week four going into right now. It's gonna, I mean, the attrition from the running back position will just continue for all teams across the league. I think you'll be able to get a guy who's gonna be a sure thing going forward, but probably none as explosive as this guy we're talking about right here.
See, that's the problem. He's a rookie. Raheem Mostert is 31. Their other running back is Jeff Wilson, who's on PUP, and then there is Salvin Ahmed, who nobody's worried about. No offense to Mr. Ahmed, but they drafted this guy really early, and that's what I'm kind of having trouble with. Because, like you said, he's unless Mahomes until Mostert like gets hurt or doesn't play good, they're gonna keep splitting work. But the problem is, it's hard to judge it based on a team that just scored 70 points, you know?
That's what I mean,
So
yeah.
I'm definitely putting in an offer. Is it more than I'm probably comfortable with? Yeah, probably. But the thing is, if let's just say he hits and he starts getting instead of 40, he gets like, 50 to 60% of the snaps. I mean, he's fast and explosive, dude. He'll probably be boom or bust some weeks, but obviously, we saw the boom, but I can't imagine if he hits, it's a game changer, honestly.
I think I've adjusted it. I'm probably saying if you really want him for it's you've got to be 30 to 35%. I think there's going to be some leagues where guys spend like 80% of their fab on him or 70%. They're just gonna totally buy into the idea and grab him. And if that's what it costs, let them take that risk. But I think if you I would say anywhere between 30 to 50% is what you should spend on him.
And so like for me, I'm spending somewhere between like 20 to 30
Yeah.
just for like a shot, and I'm not expecting to get him. So, but if nobody, for example, if I put in 20 and nobody else puts in 20, I will more than happy take him. But
Yeah.
it's just interesting. So, we spent a lot of time on him, but it's worth it because he is running back 6 on the season. So,
After playing one game, right?
well, so I was actually looking at this. He did play in the last, he didn't play week 1 because he's a little banged up. Week 2, 10% of snaps, only got one carry. And then week 3, 41% of snaps. And the thing I think that's most encouraging is he was playing from the beginning, right? This wasn't like, oh, they got up by 30, they took out Mostert and then put an Achane. It was like, sorry, Achane. It was like a little bit of both. So I'm excited. We'll see what happens. I, again, not expecting anything. So next guy, I put Elijah Moore. So this is one I picked. If you look at what his ranking is, you're going to be like, why would we waste our time with a wide receiver 50, right? Is that fair? And it's honestly just coming down to the targets, man. So weeks, he's average, his target has been 7, 9, and 9. The difference was this past week, he caught all 9 targets because they were probably better targets. They wanted to give him the ball more. The 2 weeks before that, he only caught 3 catches. So that's definitely a difference. And his yards per target went down a little bit. And his yards per catch went down. So they're just trying to get him the ball, maybe a little bit more creative. Obviously, Cooper's their number one receiver, but it's clear they want to get Elijah Moore involved. And I think it's a good time to get on him. What do you think, Nate?
I 100% agree. I think he's when we talked last week about the Chargers losing Eckler and their passing game shifting to more of like short to intermediate, or their rushing game shifting to more of a short to intermediate passing offense.
Yeah.
And how that would benefit Keenan Allen. I think Elijah Moore is kind of that guy for Cleveland. With the loss of Nick Chubb, that is a huge downgrade going from Nick Chubb to Jerome Ford. So I don't think that they can lean heavily into Jerome Ford to get that short intermediate yardage like they would have with Chubb. So I think they're going to have to do that through the air. And I think Elijah Moore benefits from that. Like you said, I mean, that just was kind of the script from last week. 9 targets, 9 receptions, 5.4 yards per target. I think he's going to have a ton of volume, kind of a PPR machine, perhaps. Probably not going to have as many explosive plays as Amari Cooper would, but this is a good offense. And I think if Deshaun Watson continues to take strides forward, I think Elijah Moore could easily crack wide receiver 25 maybe the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Where do you think he ranks in terms of targets so far? Like wide receiver what in terms of total targets?
He's probably top 12, I would say.
So I was actually surprised. I thought he'd be higher. He's wide receiver 25, but he's tied with literally like 6 other guys at 25. So, you know, about 18 to 25, mm-hmm. somewhere in there in terms of targets. He has more targets than CeeDee Lamb so far this year. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb's a much better player, but he has more targets than Tyler Lockett, Devontae Smith, Hollywood Brown, George Pickens, mm-hmm. DK Metcalf, Chris Godwin. Like, these aren't Terry McLaurin. These are all just guys, like, it doesn't seem right when you think about it, but they're targeting him so much. There's no way he's going to be wide receiver 60 at the end of the year. So in terms of value that way, I think he might be one of the biggest steals out there right now. So,
yeah.
Nate, kind of same question, I guess, is how much fab are you going to put on him? Because it depends on, again, your wide receiver position. And if you're desperate, I would say maybe like 10 if you're desperate. I don't mm-hmm. think it's worth that much, but I don't know. What did you think?
10 to 20%, I think, is a really good range. I don't think he's going to be on many people's radar going into this week. I think everybody's going to be pursuing Achan.
Yeah.
I cannot get this for the life of me.
I know.
I think people are going to be pursuing him for sure. And if you put one huge fab bid in for a guy, it's probably less likely that you're going to put in a second fab bid of 10 to 20% of what your remaining budget is for a guy like Elijah Moore. So I really think you could probably snag him in most leagues for 15% or less. So I think it's safe. I would say like 15%, honestly. I don't think I'm willing to go much more than that. I also don't think he's going to have really like many breakout games. He's just going to be kind of like the safety valve in Cleveland. Sure. So I think he's probably somebody that you could even trade for and not have to give too much away if you want to down the road.
Right. And I agree with everything you said. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of happens going forward. But
mm-hmm.
that's a good one to look into, especially even for a depth piece. I think it's really solid. You can do a lot worse than that. So next up on the list is Tajay Spears. This is more of a pickup and stash more than anything, just because he's only in 16% of fantasy leagues on ESPN right now. And the Titans offense has been bad. So the reason you want to pick him up is he's the clear running back too. And when they're losing, he's the clear leader in routes, right? Derrick Henry, I don't know why, but they don't use him hardly at all. And Spears has averaged 5.5 yards per attempt on the ground, which has been really good. And there is a chance, I don't know anything, obviously, but if the Titans continue to lose, what if they trade Derrick Henry? You know, he's 30. What if they're just looking at it like, oh, this is, you know, this is over. We need to move on. I think it's clearly possible that they do that. And looking at it from just a statistical perspective, he's been on the field 54%, 37%, and 56% of the time. So for a rookie, that's a lot. And, and like I mentioned, he is averaging 5.5 yards a carry. And he's getting, you know, decent amount of targets, but it's just more of a stash. I don't want to call it a handcuff because it's not necessarily, but if Derrick Henry either gets hurt or gets traded, it could be a bigger get than we think.
Yep. I totally agree with what you said. I'm not spending any fab on him whatsoever.
I would spend one or two if you're really desperate for running back depth.
Yeah, if your bench is just devastated by injuries or underproduction, maybe could do that. But
yeah,
I'm probably not spending any fab on him. I'm probably not even adding him this week.
I don't think, really, but they do play the Bengals, Colts, and Ravens, who all I think will be leading. So,
but to your point, I mean, the Titans are 1-2 right now. And with those upcoming games that you said, those are three tough games. Home against Cincinnati, on the road at Indianapolis, home against Baltimore. Like, they could very well go 1-5 to start the season.
And then there's the bye week, week 7. Oh, yep. You know, Derrick Henry wants out. Okay, well.
I mean, that's a possibility. Kind of a long shot and probably not something you want to take up a roster spot for, but in Dynasty, for sure, I would be pursuing him.
Yes, he should absolutely be on every Dynasty roster.
1,000%. Yeah, if he's not already, I mean, he's probably somebody you could maybe sauce like a third-round pick for, and maybe somebody will bite on him, or just like a additional depth piece, you know, maybe like an aging wide receiver that you could throw over there and add some running back depth to your Dynasty team. So switching gears to get into Dynasty, but – I feel like he's maybe more relevant there.
No, I totally agree. And yeah, I think Dynasty for sure pick him up. So kind of not a Dynasty player, in my opinion. But moving on, we have DJ Chark. And Nate, I want you to guess, how many targets, if you don't know already, did DJ Chark have last week?
So I do know because I just picked him up. But it was a lot more than I thought. That is for sure. He had 11 targets last week. Only came down to 4 of those balls, but 11 targets. And he had 94% snap share.
I was going to say, that's the thing that stood out the most to me. Because he's hurt week 1, kind of easing him back into week 2, and then just like, boom, 94%, 11 targets. And then they play the Vikings, who don't have a good defense. Then they play the Lions, whose defense has been a little suspicious. And then they play the Dolphins, who I'm not saying their defense is bad, but they're going to put up a lot of points. So they'll have to throw.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's definitely – he's the big play guy, I think, for the Panthers right now. Adam Thielen has been really good, but he doesn't play the deep threat role necessarily.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. No disrespect to Thielen. Yeah, if you look at DJ Chark's yards per catch, he kind of relies on big plays. He had a good week last week. I mean, the 11 targets was great. The 4 catches was not good.
But he got a touchdown.
He got a touchdown. It was good. I mean, you don't want to discredit a guy for a touchdown, but if he doesn't come down with that, we're probably not talking about him like we are right now. So
I think he'd be more underrated if he didn't catch
that. For sure. No, he'd be way more underrated. But I'm just saying we probably wouldn't be thinking about him, I guess. But
maybe you wouldn't be. I would be.
I would not be thinking about DJ Chark. I can guarantee you that. But yeah, this is the definition of a deep waiver wire ad. So I'm not spending any fab on him. No. If I'm just waiting probably until Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Well, he plays Thursday. So I'm waiting probably tomorrow after all the priority waivers come through. Maybe pick him up if I'm in really big need of like a wide receiver three.
I'm honestly surprised he was in 40% or 33% of rosters. That kind of blew my mind. So,
yeah.
Now moving on. So kind of our last topic of the week is what I don't have a good name for this. I'm sorry, but I'm going to call it bullish and bearish players. So not to get all nerdy with the two guys who work in finance / banking, but we literally talked about Excel for like 35 minutes before this podcast. Anyway, basically we're kind of looking at players like stocks, right? So before this past week, I was trying to get AJ Brown in the leagues where I didn't have him in every single league possible. He had been wildly underperforming, and I thought he was just going to get right back on track this past week, or if not soon. And turns out that was true. It's not always going to work out that good. I'm not that good at fantasy football.
Don't sell yourself short.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm okay. Let me rephrase that. I'm not that good at predicting when somebody's going to hit. There we go. Besides Keenan Allen. But Nate and I both picked, I think, two players. Actually, three of these are yours, but, you know, we can talk about them together. And these are just players who I think are very polarizing, some of them for very different reasons. And we're just trying to look at, is this a good time to sell high, buy low, you know, maybe even hold in some cases. So, Nate, which player do you want to start with?
I would be fine starting from the top.
That's fine.
If,
go for it.
Of this list, if we want.
Doesn't matter to me.
We are going to start with Josh Jacobs, running back on the Raiders. Has definitely had a slow start to the season. I mean, he's currently running back 25, but after coming off his season as NFL's leading rusher, I think we had higher expectations for him for sure. He's still the guy in Las Vegas. He's having over 75% snap share in just about every game. So he's definitely the dude there, but just hasn't been that efficient with his opportunities. He cracked over 3 yards per carry for the first time in his game last week versus Pittsburgh. So I think this is a guy that I'm bullish on going forward. Okay. I don't know how it can get much worse, possibly, and I think it's going to get a lot better. I think it was actually on the Sunday or Monday Night Football, one of the commentators for the game mentioned Sunday and night. Reminded me, yeah, how Josh Jacobs had sat out a lot of training camp and missed out on a lot of reps. Apparently he was training with his guys and his team offsite away from the team's facilities, but I don't think he got really the same like simulation of reps that you would in an actual training camp. And that's kind of hurting him and has caused maybe a late bloom for this season for Josh Jacobs. I think he's gonna get worked back into it. He's had two really tough matchups. Denver, which going into the season, I probably would have said that's a tough matchup for running backs. Yeah. Miami proved that to be wrong. But Buffalo, that's extremely tough. Pittsburgh, also in Buffalo. Pittsburgh, I think that's a really tough one as well. So two out of three of his games have been, you know, he's kind of been going against favorable odds in those. So, but going forward, he's got Los Angeles, Green Bay, New England, still kind of rocky, but then Chicago and Detroit to go after. So I think he'll be good. The thing that encourages me is that he's still the volume guy there. He's still being used a lot in the receiving game as well. And I don't think that they're going to be able to turn away from him. I think kind of like Derrick Henry a little bit. I think it's a matter of time before these guys get going. I'm more confident, though, that Josh Jacobs is going to be able to do that because he's only 25, and we saw last season what he can do. So I'm buying Josh Jacobs right now if you can. If you've got a trade for him, I'm guessing a lot of, you know, fantasy managers that have Josh Jacobs right now are probably pretty frustrated from what they've seen so far, but aren't going to sell him for pennies. I think they're still going to want a pretty good player in return. So I think
you have trade idea on, you don't have to, but do you have one? Like,
do you have one, like a player comp, possibly somebody that you could like running back for running back kind of trade?
Kind of. Like, would you trade Kyren Williams?
Yes.
100%. For Josh Jacobs? Because he's the running back 5 right now. He's been playing really good. So that's the name that came to my head because it's kind of come out of nowhere. And then you have Brian Robinson. Obviously, everybody would trade Brian Robinson for him. But, like, what about James Conner? That's a tough one. I would keep James Conner probably.
I would trade James Conner. I'm looking at it as if I'm a Josh Jacobs holder, I'm probably keeping Josh Jacobs if I get that trade. I mean, I think it's probably a coin flip on if somebody's going to bite. And I think that's a really good scenario though, because I would think that Josh Jacobs is the more talented player. I have more trust in Josh Jacobs, but James Conner is used a lot in Arizona. That's tough. I don't know if – yeah, for both sides, honestly. I don't know if I'd be willing to part with James Conner after what I've seen so far, and I don't think I'd be selling Josh Jacobs for that. Kyren Williams, though, I think if you've got Kyren Williams – I would personally shoot the shot and try and get Josh Jacobs. I think that trade goes through a lot of times.
Probably, honestly, yeah.
So, yeah, I think those are good scenarios, but play around with it a little bit. It's all situational, especially if the guy, you know, needs kind of like a 2-for-1. If he needs wide receiver depth, you could hit him with a couple pieces and get Josh Jacobs in return. Maybe like a Rashad White and like a, I'm trying to think, like a wide receiver that you could send over. But I don't know. Rashad White, like George Pickens, maybe.
Yeah, it's hard to.
Like a wide receiver one and a running back one if they're in need of depth. But I don't know. But I am definitely bullish on Josh Jacobs going forward. We've talked about him enough, though. Layden, who's your guy?
So, we've talked about him a little bit. Is Keenan Allen. So, obviously, everybody in the world's bullish on Keenan Allen. The reason I put him on here is he was honestly the first player that came to mind because he's the top player in fantasy, clear fantasy wide receiver 1. Do you try to trade him in the leagues you have him? Because I was honestly going back and forth, and even in the scenarios where I said I should trade him, I couldn't think of a single trade where I would accept it, where I think the other person would also accept it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you have him in your work league, and I even asked you this before the podcast, like, would you trade Ja'Marr Chase for Keenan Allen? Somebody like that. Nobody's trading Justin Jefferson for Keenan Allen, so I'm not even going to bring that up. But Ja'Marr Chase for Keenan Allen?
If you have Keenan Allen, do you accept that? Do you want Ja'Marr over Keenan? I think the situation just improved so much for Keenan also. I mean, unfortunately, I hate the Mike Williams injury for him, but like for Keenan's sake and fantasy purposes, like his situation got a lot better. It was already great, but it got even better with that. So I don't know, honestly. Like, I think you could trade I don't know if there's a one-for-one trade for Keenan Allen that I would make if I own Keenan. I think if
It's
it's going to
hard.
be anything, it's where you're going to give up, wide receiver one for the entire NFL and get like a top 15 wide receiver and like a top 15 running back. You give up an A plus player for like two A minuses. I think that's the only time when I would really do that, because you got to fill out your roster with guys that can perform and are going to win you weeks. If you're getting, it does help that you're basically getting like double the fantasy production from one player, but it's nicer to maybe fill the, I guess, diversify the risk a little bit across more players. But yeah, that's a really tough one.
I'm probably not even entertaining really a trade. Like you said, he got 20 targets with Mike Williams basically playing the whole game.
Yeah.
Like, and then the other worry is when Austin Ekeler comes back, do they become more balanced on offense? I guess that's the other worry, but then again, it's like he's so clear in a way the wide receiver one on that team. Justin Herbert, that's like the first or second place he looks every play. So I'd probably hold, but if you get a good offer, I wouldn't blame you for pulling the trigger. So,
Yeah.
Nate, you want to talk about Hollywood Brown?
Yes. So the next guy I wanted to talk about
Hollywood.
was Marquise Brown,
I
also
literally
known as
typed in
Hollywood Brown.
Hollywood. I don't know what
I
I was thinking.
did the same thing in the
Everybody does
sleeper.
it.
Yeah. No, so Marquise Brown, this was a guy I think a lot of people were down on going into the season.
Was everybody down on him?
I
I was
wasn't
high
down
on
because I drafted him.
him.
No, I was down. When I made that pick, I was like, this feels so wrong. But
I was in the weird way like high on him, I guess. So sorry, go on.
yeah, I was a little down on him. Like, I think he's a super talented guy, but it was just the situation that made me a little iffy. I think everybody thought, going into the season, he was either going to be playing for Colt McCoy or Josh Dobbs as his quarterback, which neither of those scenarios are that great, in my opinion. But he's far and away the best wide receiver option in Arizona. I think honestly, he's
Yes.
probably one of the best wide receivers in the NFC, if I had to throw that out there.
Oh,
I think he's
that's
very
interesting.
underrated. But he started a little bit slow against Washington, has kind of brought it on the last couple weeks. He's gotten a touchdown in his last two games. I'm bullish on Marquise Brown for a couple reasons. One, I think, is Josh Dobbs looks a lot more competent than I personally thought he would. He seems
Can I
to,
just say, I don't think it's
yeah.
just Josh Dobbs. It's honestly just the whole Cardinals offense. Like, everybody thought the
Yeah.
line would be bad. And so,
That's
and with
true.
him, there was not going to go. But yeah, keep going.
I honestly didn't know what the expectations were for the line. It all kind of came down to the quarterback for me. I just did not think Josh Dobbs was going to get it done. I thought he was going to be the worst quarterback in the NFL for this season.
Then Aaron
He's
Rodgers got hurt.
probably then Aaron Rodgers got hurt, and boy, Zach Wilson took that 32 spot. But I mean, Josh Dobbs, he's definitely a below average quarterback, but he is competent at the position. Seems like he can get it done. He can put the
Game
ball where it
manager.
needs to be. Game manager all the way. Is
Discount
not.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I kind of like that, honestly. I like Josh Dobbs. I'm a huge fan of him now. But
He's always been good. He's just been on bad teams.
yeah, but back to the point, kind of like I think Arizona showed last week when they beat Dallas that they are trying to be competitive this year. So I think they're going to do whatever they can to stay in games. Unfortunately, I just don't think they're that talented compared to a lot of teams in the NFC and NFL. So I think they're going to be trailing a
Definitely not.
lot, which means they're going to have to be throwing a lot. And another point that I think it was Greg Olsen. No, Greg Olsen called the Chiefs game. I don't remember who called the Cowboys Cardinals game, but he was saying that he was talking to like Arizona's offensive coordinator And after week one, they realized that they had made a mistake in cutting Marquise Brown out of the offensive scheme. And they understand now that he's the most talented player on that offense. And they're trying to make a point to get him more involved. Just throw him the ball and let him try to make a play. That's kind of what they've done the last couple weeks. And yep, it's really, yeah. Yeah. Last 2 weeks, he had 10 targets and 7 targets, touchdown both games, 17 fantasy points both weeks. So I like Hollywood Brown. I think luckily yet you haven't seen the breakout performance of him that would vault his stock. So I think you could get in and trade him for relatively cheap. And what you're getting is a clear-cut wide receiver one and a very talented player in and of itself.
I agree with everything you said. I will just add it's a contract year for him. So that's just
what do we know about contract years?
They're undefeated.
Yes, sir. Hollywood Brown.
They're undefeated. Hollywood Brown. I love it. So obviously that's everything we had on the agenda, but we can't just finish without the one and only. I'm going to start calling it the Trent McDuffie. Best cornerback in football. Not actually, ooh, but we're going to call it the lock of the week. I didn't know why I said that. We've always called it the lock of the week. Nate, this is your segment. You've built an Excel spreadsheet to dominate the segment. wrap up last week. How did everybody do?
So last week, we did okay. we went 2 for 3. We actually had our guest from last week, Jash, came through. He had Leighton and I's number one pick as well, but he stole the Seahawks -6 off the board. That did cover, correct? I'm not making that up, right?
Yeah, you won by 10, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Seahawks -6 against the Panthers. That was a smash. He hit that. He also, in parentheses, put he liked the Chiefs -12.5. That covered easily. I threw out Pittsburgh +3. If you listen to the podcast, you heard me try to convince myself that that was going to work. I spent the next week getting a lot of crap from friends in the group text for liking that game. I almost convinced myself I didn't really want it. But luckily the Steelers pulled through, actually won outright against the Raiders. So Pittsburgh +3 covered. Leighton just ended up on the short side of it.
So lame.
Unfortunately, we record these podcasts on Tuesdays. If we would have waited until, you know, Saturday, Sunday, this line for the Rams game moved to +3. Leighton had him locked in at +2. Leighton had him locked in at +2.
That makes it so much worse.
So it ended on the number 3. If he had +3, it would have been a push. Honestly, we could give you the benefit of the doubt. We would not be locking these in on a Tuesday. We'd be waiting.
Especially when Joe Burrow's questionable.
Exactly. So, which is bizarre to me that the line was +2 on Tuesday when everybody thought Joe Burrow was out. And then when Joe Burrow was announced as a starter, it moved to +3. Like, it's moved away from the Bengals.
It's almost like he's not that good.
Crazy. He did okay. He did okay last week.
He did fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal.
But so we went 2 for 3. Two and one is what I'm trying to say. I'm going to give Leighton the benefit of the doubt. We'll call it a push.
I appreciate that.
So still undefeated so far this year. Leighton, give me your lock of the week.
So mine was pretty – when I first looked at this, I remember I was talking to you. I thought this was a joke or a glitch or something when I was looking at the lines for this week, because I'm scrolling down and I'm like, you know, this game's all right. And then we get to Monday night. Seahawks travel to at New York to play the Giants. I was like, oh, I would probably pick Seattle to win that game. And then, lo and behold, the spread is New York -1.5. So you're telling me I can get the much better team with points, 1.5? So that is my lock of the week. They just covered against the Panthers. Going right back to the Seahawks well, I don't know why, Nate, but I think this might be the most underrated team, I guess, in Vegas, in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I'm very high. I don't think they win. Unless if Saquon's playing, then I can get the line. I'm going to lock in Seahawks +1.5. But if I'm betting this game, you just take the money line. That's all you got to do.
I love it. This is probably my most confident pick for this week too. Yeah, I don't understand it
at
all.
The Seahawks one?
Yeah, the Seahawks one. Okay. To me, I think the Seahawks are definitely a top 12 team in the NFL. Like, I think they're a playoff team, and they'll continue to get better as the year goes on, barring major injuries. Flip side, I think the Giants are a bottom 5 team, bottom 6 team in the NFL. They've been terrible. Like, I don't understand this line at all. It feels like a trap. I don't really understand why it's set the way it is. I don't know if they're predicting that Seattle's going to have a letdown game. But on Monday Night Football, I don't see how that's possible. I think Seattle, I think they win outright as well. So I like the money line pick. For mine, also another line that didn't make that much sense to me, I'm taking the Green Bay Packers +1.5 at home versus the Lions.
You really had to pick Josh on his way out of the podcast.
Oh, I had to. But it's a divisional game. I think these teams are very equal, and the Packers are at home getting points. That didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like, I know the Lions beat the Chiefs this year. I think the Lions are good. I think the Lions Chiefs beat the Chiefs. But yet, like, I think Detroit is also kind of like Seattle, top 12 team, top 10 team maybe. But they – excuse me, I lost my train of thought. But yeah, I think they're a top 12 team. I think Green Bay is like a top 12 team too. I think the Green Bay is getting some players back this week. Like we mentioned earlier, Aaron Jones is probably looking like he's on path to return. Haven't heard any injury updates on Christian Watson yet, but it's been a few weeks where he's been, you know, questionable game time decisions. It is possible he could suit up. They proved last week they didn't really need him, though. They got the dub, Romeo Dubs.
Romeo Dubs.
I like Green Bay this week, +1.5. I mean, I'm kind of laden, like, could take money line, but just give me the point. It helped them last week in a one-point game against the Saints. So
it did.
That is going to be my lock as well.
I love it. I do really like that game as well. I don't know why. Just feels right. Also, I just realized something as I was looking at our league record. Did you know they have lines?
No.
For our matchups. Yeah. Like going into week 4, like I'm a 10.1 favorite over Kyle. Nate, you're a 12.8 favorite over Joe.
Wow. Wait, where did you see this at?
So are you on your phone?
Yeah, I'm on my phone.
Okay. I honestly don't know. We should probably cut this out. But no, you know what? We'll keep it in. I was looking at it on the
web. I see it now. Yeah, it's on the preview.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, all right. I'm gonna look at a couple of these lines.
And if you go to scoreboard for week 4, you can see it. Or no, you can't. Never mind. Ignore me.
That's fascinating.
On ESPN Online, they have like a dedicated like tab for game lines under scoreboard. That's just mind blowing to me. I was trying to find the final standings projection because I just like looking at it when they projected me 10th. But yeah, there's lines on all these games. We should do like a lock of the week.
I'm gonna start scouting these lines.
I know Nate's going to build another Excel sheet for this. But I don't know. I just thought that was fascinating. The closest game this week is going to be Scott versus Jake Neff. 2.6 spread right there. So,
nail biter.
Just for all the coin boys flip game listening. So, John, 11.1 underdog. Is he going to find a way to get back in the win column?
Pulling
How about
you,
next
buddy.
Week? Next week, he'll let us know. How about that? Maybe. Maybe he'll be back. Who knows?
I miss you, John. But
we miss you, buddy. Come join us. But speaking of joining us, thanks for joining this week. Hopefully we gave you some good insight. I think this is probably the most beneficial episode, I think, of the year so far in terms of the weekly episode. So I really like it. And, yeah, follow us on X, Twitter. DM us some questions. We love to answer them. We're going to get that poll hopefully start again soon. That was a John thing that he was doing. And since he's on vacation for 2 months, it's been a little lacking. So we'll catch you guys next week. And good luck in your games this week.
Thanks, guys.